Could we look, please, in 1 John chapter 1? 1 John chapter 1. And I would just like to look at the last 12 words of verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the last 12 words. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't know if sin is part of your vocabulary. Once it wasn't part of mine. And I don't know if your sin is a problem for you tonight. But there was a time in my life when it became the greatest problem of all. And I longed to be free from it. But I didn't think it was possible. I'll tell you, a lot of things I don't know tonight. But I know my sins have been forgiven. They've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, if you don't know this for sure, you're missing out on the greatest thing, the most important thing a human being can experience. As you've been hearing, God loves you. He's made provision in the death of His Son so that sinners like you and me can know for sure our sins have been forgiven, that we're going to be in heaven. And I often think at a time like this, in a gospel meeting, where are you going to be in 100 years? You won't be sitting in a comfortable seat, maybe thinking what you're going to do when this meeting's over, or what you're going to do Monday. Where are you going to be? See, my friend, this is the big picture that I never used to think about at all. Now, at the close of the meeting, I want to tell you how I came to be a Christian. Because this is a reality. We're not talking about religion, joining a church, following a bunch of rules. We're talking about having a relationship with a living God. And my friend, this can be your experience tonight. Because everything's been done that needs to be done. It's our sin that separates us from God in this life and will separate us from God in the next life. But the good news is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when He was on the cross, He died for our sins. He gave us life. And as we read here, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Now, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is. And if you found better news, would you please let me know? Because I've never heard it. Now, unlike some of you here, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I had good parents. And they even sent my brother, I have a brother 5 years younger than me, they sent us to Sunday school for some reason when we were younger. But basically, my father and mother, especially my father, had no time for quote-unquote religion. What he had time for was music. My father loved music. He would have loved to have studied it, but he had to leave school when he was early because his mother died and he had to help support the family. But he just loved music. He was, I guess you could say, an amateur musician. He was a drummer. And his ambition was to enable his boys to have the opportunity that he never had. And so from our earliest days, my brother and I, we wanted to be jazz musicians. And there was music playing all the time in our house, mostly jazz, modern jazz. For some reason, though, on Sunday, my dad played classical music. I don't know why, but that's what he used to do. Even though we went to Sunday school a little bit, I don't ever remember hearing that Christ died for my sins and that I had a soul, I needed to be saved. I never heard that. I still remember some of the hymns they sang. But I really wasn't interested in. So my brother and I stopped going. But what I started to do was my father started taking me to play the piano in his band on the weekends. And from an early age, I started to see what adults do on Friday or Saturday night, especially when they've had too much to drink. And you'd think, if I had had any sense, I would have thought, you know, this is no way a person ought to behave, and I would have shunned it, but when people who should have known better put some beer or a drink on the piano player, one for the piano player, you know, I thought it was good. And so I started drinking at an early age. Now, I will say, to my father's credit, that I never saw him drunk once. Not that he didn't drink, but, you know, it wasn't the lifestyle that so many of us enjoyed in the music business, the parties and everything else. He just loved the music and seemed oblivious to everything else. Unfortunately, I was a rebellious son. I had good parents, but I didn't treat them very well because they had rules. Like, you know, if I took the car and went somewhere, I was supposed to be home by midnight or whatever the time was. Well, I'm not sure it ever happened because I just wanted to do my own thing. And not only as far as my parents were concerned, and even though, you know, I never read the Bible or anything, but really as far as God was concerned, you know, there was no God for me. I was God. I was the center of the universe. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, maybe I'm speaking to someone and you never behaved like I did. You never drank and got drunk. You never went to wild parties. You never rebelled against your parents flagrantly like I did. But you know, God says we've turned everyone to our own way. There's not one of us here tonight that can say we've always gone God's way, no matter how good a person you may be. So every one of us has a basic problem. Our sin has taken us away from God. It took me 25 years to find that out. Have you ever found that out? That because of your sin, no matter how good you are, you're at a distance from God? My friend, this is vital. Because if you've never seen your great need, that your sin is separating you from God in this life, and will in the next life, why do you need a Savior? Well, I couldn't wait to leave home when I graduated from high school. I went to college in Toronto, in Canada. And did whatever I wanted to do. And that's why I couldn't wait to get away from home, because I knew that once I was on my own, I could do whatever I wanted. And that's what I did. And oh, I went to school some. And I played in bands some. And I partied a lot. Much to my shame. I'm not bragging about this, believe me. And if I had to do it all over again, I would have loved to have been saved at the age of some of you young ones. I would have saved myself so much grief. I'll tell you, there's a price for sin, my friend. You know, I remember as a young boy when TV first came out. This was in Canada. I'm a Canadian by birth. And, you know, we were all watching this little screen with a bunch of static. Now, some of the young ones will think I'm a dinosaur for saying that. But I remember seeing this video. It was in a jungle, and there was a fight between a tiger and a python, you know, those big constricting snakes. And, you know, they started going at it, and leaves flying all over the place, and you think the tiger is going to win. You know, he's all over that snake. I mean, huge. Maybe it was a Bengal tiger, probably in India or something, you know. But as you kept watching, that snake got one of its coils around Mr. Tiger. But that didn't bother the tiger. He's just, you know, those big teeth and claws and everything. And you wonder, when's the snake going to die? But then the snake gets another coil around Mr. Tiger. But it still didn't bother the tiger. He's going to town on the snake. But then the snake gets another one. And you can almost, if I recall correctly, the tiger starts to feel the weight. The weight of his of that snake. And, you know, he tries to get out of it. And he's not so much concerned now about getting the snake, but he wants to get out from what's around him. And the more he tries to get out, the snake just tightens it up a notch each time. And before too long, the tiger is dead on the forest floor. Now, I saw that when I was a boy somewhere. But after I became a Christian, I thought, boy, Larry, that was you. That was you. You were the tiger. I thought it was a tiger. Sin was the serpent, was the snake. And I'll tell you, what started out as small little things in my life as a young boy, as a teenager, I thought I could control. But by the time I was 25, sin had me in its coils. I felt the weight of it. And I tried to get out, and I couldn't. It was like a nightmare. Listen, you young ones, don't play around with sin. Oh, I know it seems so appealing. It's nothing. You can drop it whenever you want. You think. Sin is powerful. And I tell you, I'm so thankful tonight there's a Savior who can deliver you from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the guilt of sin. So I lived it up when I was a university student. I thought I had the world by the tail. But then it became increasingly apparent to me that something was missing. There was an emptiness. After the playing Friday night and the parties and Saturday and Sunday when I should have been doing my schoolwork, if you had been there, you would have seen a young man walking around the streets of Toronto wondering, what's it all about? What's it all about? What's life all about? What's missing? I didn't know what it was. But I knew something was missing. There was a growing emptiness inside here. Am I speaking to someone tonight? And you know what I'm talking about. The things that you thought were going to make you happy, oh, there were some thrills for a moment. But there's a growing emptiness. Listen, my friend, there's many people all over this world that could tell you tonight, this world isn't big enough to satisfy the longing of your heart. My last years at university, I got introduced to drugs, the people I was hanging around with. And I thought marijuana was opening my mind to a whole new world. A whole new way of thinking. I believed in it. And I thought, you know, being a jazz musician, I thought, wow, I'm going to really go into some far out music here. Somehow, I graduated. I spent some time out in California, because that's where all hippies went in 1969, 70. But then I was offered a job playing at a big nightclub in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. And I needed the money. My money was running out, so I took the job. And my family thought it was great. They thought Larry's made it. My friends would come to the shows, and they had some well-known entertainers play there. We were the house band. But by this time in my life, I wasn't concerned about being entertained. I wasn't concerned about show. I wanted something real. Because I was like a person that has been treading water for a long time. And they're looking for something to put their feet on. Looking for something solid. But I didn't find anything. And I know there were times when, during the break, there was a saxophone player from Detroit, and we'd go out behind the nightclub and smoke marijuana. I did that enough. But there came a time when, if you had been there, I wasn't out there. I wasn't at the bar. You would have looked in a far corner of that place. It was a young man reading books on Zen Buddhism. Because I was searching now. Because everything else I tried had left me empty. And I don't know how I started reading books on Zen Buddhism. Maybe from the philosophy section at the university bookstore. I don't know, but, you know, I was searching. Is there anyone here tonight and you're searching? You may not be able to put your finger on what it is you're searching for, but you're searching for something. You know, God says, seek the Lord while he may be found. My friend, he can be found tonight. Well, my family and friends were horrified when I quit that job. They didn't understand what I had learned. You see, they would come and see the show and all the lights and everything looked wonderful. I saw what happened when the lights were off. And it was a great education, really. Because some of those people that butter wouldn't melt in their mouth under the lights, talk about tigers. Talk about snakes. I saw behind the scenes. And let me just say this. Show business is very aptly named. It's a show, a show. It's business. I was looking for something real. Something that could meet the need in my soul. Didn't find it there. And let me say this. You know, there isn't a quarterback in the National Football League that can meet your need tonight. And, you know, young men, a lot of us would have given anything to be that. There isn't a rock star that can satisfy the longing in your soul tonight, or a movie star, or anybody in business. Sometimes, you know, the world, we have our idols. And we put them on a pedestal. But they can't help you with your sin problem. I'm glad there's someone that can tonight. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God from heaven. And my friend, he's knocking at that heart store of yours, at that life of yours. Maybe up to now, you said no to him. I'll tell you, when he was on the cross, he was saying yes to you. My friend, he was there for you and me. Well, I did nothing for a while except read books on Zen Buddhism, smoke marijuana, meditate. I became a vegetarian, did yoga. You know, really looking back, I was trying to purify myself. By now, I was trying to get myself to God, trying to get my head around God. And it was hard work. Well, my money started running out again. And I was living with a friend of mine who was a drummer. And he said that he had an aunt, an older lady who was a widow, who needed some work done around her house. And, you know, he asked if I'd be interested in that. And I said, sure. Now, by this time, it's 1970. I'm an old guy now. 1970, I had long hair. I had a beard. Looked like a hippie. People don't believe it until I show them a picture. But believe me, it's true. And so here we are. Now, this lady's nephew, my friend the drummer, he was a pretty clean-cut guy on the outside. And so these two guys walk up the driveway to this widow's farmhouse. There's a clean-cut guy, and then there's the other one. And, you know, it just amazes me that that lady gave me the time of day. It's a wonder she didn't tell her nephew, get that guy out of here. Greta Flint was a Christian. I didn't know it at the time. But she gave us something to do. I forget what it was. We did the work, and she says, come on in, boys. And she sat us down around her round table there while she bustled around the kitchen, got us something to eat. And while she's doing it, she starts talking to us about the Bible, about Jesus Christ, about God. And my ears perk up, and so You know, I got in on this conversation because I thought I knew a little bit about spiritual things. I mean, I've been reading Zen Buddhism for a while now. So it began, the first of many conversations. Now, we left that day. As far as I know, her nephew never came back. But, you know, God was dealing with me, and I didn't know God at all. But He brought me in touch with that lady for a reason. And let me say, you're at this conference here for a reason. Tonight, this gospel meeting, you're here for a reason. It's not accident. My friend, God loves you. He wants to rescue you. He wants you to have a personal relationship, as you've been hearing, with His Son. And you can have it. He's just waiting for you to come to Him and to trust Him. My Zen Buddhism, I was trying to do all these things to get myself to God and failing miserably. Little did I know, Christ had done everything that needed to be done to bring me to God. Well, I'm really ashamed of the way I treated that lady too. I argued with her, but she was so kind to me. So kind. Really, she wore me down by her kindness. And you know, I never considered myself a hippie, but others would have. You know, we talked about peace in those days, but I never had it. Nobody else I knew had it. And this lady, she had it. And when she talked about the Lord, it was as if she knew Him. And she did. He was real to her. God wasn't real to me. And so, you know, I was drawn by what she had. And she asked me after a while if I ever read the Bible. I never had. She says, would you like to? And she showed me this Bible she had, and I was intrigued because it was all marked up. She, you know, with colored something. And I said, sure, I'll read it. Well, I took it home. Started to read it. Much of it I didn't understand. But I'll tell you, after a while I started to get the drift, especially reading the opening chapters of Romans. It's like God's x-ray of me, you, of all of us. And it's not a pretty x-ray. And I realized that God saw me in a way that nobody else did. You know, we can hide from others. We can even hide from ourselves. But we don't hide from God. My friend, He sees you and me through and through. Our sin. Not just what we've done. Not just all that we've forgotten. But even what we think. And we're accountable to Him for this. Well, when I realized that, I thought, Larry, you better change your tune, boy. You better change the way you do things here. So, like so many, I tried to shape up. I tried to stop doing certain things and tried to start doing other things. And I'll tell you, it was like a nightmare. Remember I was telling you about that tiger and the coils of the snake? It was like, I always thought that I was going to go somewhere in life. I got fairly good marks in school. And here I was now, 25 years old. It's just me and my sin. It has a hold on me because the harder I tried to start doing what was right, seemed the worse I got. My friend, sin is powerful. Don't play around with it. You give it an inch, it'll take you down to hell. I'll tell you, it was like waking up in the middle of a nightmare. I'll just say one more thing. Greta told me later, she says, she had decided, she'd been talking to me now for several months, and she just felt that the next time I came to visit her, she was just going to have to lay it all out on the table, and you know, she just felt that I needed to be confronted with the reality of God's salvation. Well, when I came, she said, she talked to me, and she says her words were just... It's like they bounced off my face just like off a brick wall and came back and slapped her.
She felt Satan's power so strong that she thought, this guy is impossible. Sometime after that, not too long, I was all alone in the house. I had made a phone call to try to play with some guys in Detroit. I won't go into all of that. But that day, my sin bothered me like it never had before. I sometimes say, and I'm not a man given to visions and things like that, but I felt like I was in a tube. It was greased. And I was going down, and I couldn't stop myself. Now listen, I didn't know much about the Bible, but I knew I wasn't going to heaven. And that day, I knew I was lost. You know, I'm ashamed at how low God had to let me sink before I would realize I was lost and helpless. Have you ever realized that? In your life? I'm not asking, did you get into the sin that I got into? I hope not. But my friend, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. Have you ever realized that you're in a tube, you're going down, and you can't help yourself? My friend, hell is real. There's people in hell right now. Better people than us. Died without Christ. Died in their sins. Well, I'll tell you, that afternoon, I realized what I needed more than anything. It wasn't another party. It wasn't another bag of marijuana. It wasn't a better jazz band. I needed someone to help me with my sin. I needed to be saved. Now, I didn't know much about Christ. Never been to a gospel meeting like this. But you know, Greta had pointed me to Christ. And I remember one time she said, previous to this, she said, Larry, she says, how are you doing with the Zen Buddhism business? Is it getting you to God? And I don't remember my response. I probably just hung my head in shame because I knew it wasn't. She said, and I don't know her exact words, but she says, Larry, you're trying to get yourself to God. You can't do it. This is why Christ Jesus came into the world. And I saw him now, in my simplistic thinking, as a hinge, you know? And I don't know if she brought 1 Peter 3:18 to me, but Christ once suffered for sins, him for us, that he might bring us to God. And I realized that day I needed somebody to get me to God because I couldn't get there myself. You think you're going to get to God on your own? My friend, there's a Savior tonight. He wants to be your Savior. Well, that afternoon, again, without knowing much of the gospel, not knowing much about the Bible, but I knew this, I was going down and I was helpless. I just cried out. It was like my world was total darkness, but there was one prick of light out there because she had pointed me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wasn't thinking of church, religion. I needed a Savior. And you know, I sometimes think of it like a man drowning, going down for the third time. Somebody throws him a life preserver. And they grab it. That's what I did with the gospel. That's what I did with the Lord Jesus. I just took him. I received him. No lights went off. Didn't feel a bit different. The Lord saved this sinner that day. Why? I marvel. It could have been otherwise. I could have been in hell right now. But he loved me. He gave himself for me. My friend, I couldn't do anything. He was just waiting for me to realize I'm lost. I'm guilty. He just wanted me to put my trust in his Son. When the Lord Jesus on the cross, my friend, he died for all our sins. Aren't they beautiful words that we read here at the beginning? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from just our past sins, from all sin. My friend, this can be your experience. You can know tonight for sure that you've been cleansed from all your sin because God says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy so great salvation. Lord, what a marvel it is that God would so love the world to give His only begotten Son for the likes of us, that if anyone even here tonight in this school would have put their trust in Him, they need not perish, but they can have everlasting life. Lord, bless Thy word, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen.